paying for everything. And I'm supposed to be cooking and doing laundry. And I'm sort of like, being a girl boss is a trap, you know? And I'm joking, of course, in a lot of ways. But I do, you know, the underlying is that society has sort of told women, like, if you just hustle nonstop, all your dreams are going to come true. And it's like, okay, but we're tired. I'm still underpaid. I'm stressed out. This is not the promised land. And so I'm like, I jokingly, like, I want a sugar daddy because I want some time off. I need time off.
That is Phoebe Robinson, and she's on tour. And I asked her if the name of the tour was, I Need a Sugar Daddy. But it's not. It's called Messy AF for the kids. You know what that means. And she gets into it on today's edition of Naked.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends. People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation,
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us. Every champion that carry champions to be a champion. A champion that carry champion, that girl, you did it. Got a champion that carry champion, that carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with
us. Hey, everybody, she is back. And by that, I mean back on the road again. My next guest is a comedian, an actress, a writer, and she is back on tour. And today she joins us on Naked to talk about her comedy tour, but more importantly, how she has been able to arrive at this point. Phoebe Robinson, known to many of you guys as the one half of Two Dope Queens, that hit show on HBO, turned from podcast to TV show. She's always been able to take her IP, her property, if you will, intellectual property, and turn it into a television show. She's such a creative and she's so smart. I've watched over the years that she built a very, I guess I would say, profitable enterprise using her intelligence, her wit, and her humor. Sit back and relax and listen to Phoebe. She's funny. She's honest. And more importantly, for this particular podcast, she is extremely naked. First and foremost, welcome to the podcast, the greatest there ever was in life to ever do it. By Girl Magic, super defined, underlined, everything, exclamation, Phoebe Robinson. How are you, my friend?
Wow. Talk about an intro. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to see you're so pretty. It's actually kind of annoying. It is.
Oh, thank you. I'll take it, girl. I have, and I got to be honest with you, you know, I followed your career for very many years. Everyone was introduced to you with your HBO hit television show, which was a podcast before, Two Dope Queens, which was a podcast before. You were a podcast queen, and you're able to take projects and make them into other projects based on the original project. When I talk about recycling and getting all of my money, I got a podcast that's dope. I'm going to make it a television series. And then ultimately, I'll take all of my experiences and probably write about them in some form or fashion based on the material that I have from these two outlets. And I think you're a genius. Do people say that about you?
No. You know, ain't nobody trying to call a black woman a genius. Come on. They save that for the white people. Come on.
That word is not thrown around, but you legitimately are. Your empire, your business empire that I can see from my simple view allows me to see the vision. And in my mind, you're always on brand. There is something about you that is just, that to me is, makes people curious. Like you write about being black, being a black woman. Tiny Reparations is the name of your imprint, as well as your company. And you do a HBO special that says, I'm sorry, Harriet Tubman. Like you, to me, do it all. And I'm all like, gosh, she's so smart. Tell me why she's sorry to Harriet. What do you call your brand of work? Do you have a brand for it? How would you describe it in a pitch?
God, I mean, that's such a good question. I mean, first and foremost, have always been a lover of film and TV, a lesser degree comedy, because I thought I was going to write dramatic movies. Like, I never wanted to get into comedy. I thought I was like funny, sort of like, oh, you know, I'm funny with my friends, but I didn't think like as a career. And so I think I just am someone who just unabashedly embraces themselves and all their quirks, like the nerdy things about them. I mean, with the things that like people don't think are cool or like in fashion, like I really just celebrate that, because I think there's so many people out there who have eclectic tastes, who like lots of different things and just sort of want to dine on life. And I feel like I'm very much in that headspace where I just want to like eat it all and really enjoy it. And even though, you know, with the strikes and everything, it's a tough moment right now. I just have such a love of communication. And I think that's all my work is like, I try and connect with the audience, whether it's podcasting or stand up or writing the books. Like I always want to have this relationship with whoever my audience is, and let them know that, like, I see them and I hope that they see me and that they don't feel alone. So I can't sum it up in a word, but I think it's just, you know, I feel more like feeling like what's in my gut.
Okay, so this woman, the first thing that comes to mind when you describe that, and bear with me because it's a bit of a reach here, but I think of Taylor Swift.
Girl, I'm about to log out. Girl, you compare me to Tay-Tay Swift?
But let me tell you why.
Okay.
Taylor has 8 to 80, right?
Yeah.
She has 8 to 80 in terms of the people that she can speak to with her music. And when you are an artist and you can speak to various groups with your art, that is special. So someone could say, well, I like Carrie. I appeal to her. But my approach and things that I say and perhaps even the way I look might be like, well, she pro-black woman, pro. You are that.
Yeah.
But you also are going to give me my Thirsty Thursdays with every hot guy in the world that I also like, that other women also like of different backgrounds, and we can relate. And then you're talking, and I'm like, okay. And then you're like, but let me tell you, I do know how to double dutch or whatever, fill in the blank black girl thing. And then I'm very open about interracial dating.
Yeah.
My point is, you speak to everyone where they are, and you are relatable. You're just relatable to all walks of life, not just one little bucket. They can't put you in two buckets. They can put you in a lot of buckets. I didn't love Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I am a new Swiftie. But once I started to learn more and more about her, I was like, oh, I get it. It's not even so much her music. It's her business acumen. It's how she moves in the world. It's like, and I could tell she is about that business. No matter how sweet and she's smiling, I'm all like, you don't get up there being sweet and smiling.
Yeah.
So did you see what I'm saying about you? Do you see what I'm saying? You appeal to a lot of genres, if you will.
I like that. I think that is good. I feel like I'm specific yet relatable. I think that is a perfect encapsulation. Yeah.
It's hard to do. And now you're on tour, which I want to say congratulations. First time since 2019. Obviously, COVID hit. And then during COVID, you had 18,000 TV shows. We'll get to that. But talk to me about this tour. Why now?
Yeah, it's really exciting. I mean, you know, I started doing stand-up in 2008 and I was 23 going on 24. And I just really felt like I found my voice and my confidence through stand-up over the years. And, you know, I'm a big believer, certainly like when my TV show, Everything's Trash, you know, got canceled and ripped off the streaming platforms. We love Bob Iger. he's my fave.
I was going to get there delicately, but we'll get there next. Go ahead.
but like when that, because that was like a 3-year process, and you know, being in TV, like people think you just show up and you do it and like you go home, and it really takes on a life of its own and becomes all consuming. So that was really my process for like 3 years. And like, I had a book come out. I, you know, did like a podcast during the pandemic. I put out a special, and I really just felt like, okay, all that stuff is done. The show's over. It's, you know, end of summer 2022. And I just wanted to kind of return to basics. I always feel like whenever you're having those moments of transition, if you will, I always feel like it's good to go back to the beginning and go back to the root, back to the things you love. And then like you have all this experience and this knowledge that you could take and do it again, and it'll help you go further. And so I was just like, I really miss doing stand up. I want a tour. And so this is my first theater tour. I'm doing small theaters. This is very exciting. I just was like, I miss it. And I always tell people this. I really used to dread doing stand up probably until like I started back this year. Like every set, I would have like a pit in my stomach. I'd be like, I don't want to do this. I just was like so in my head, and I wasn't able to be fully present and enjoy the moment. I think some of that obviously is due because the indie comedy scene when I started out in 2008 was toxic. It was very male dominated in a way that I think a lot of women who started in New York certainly like have residual kind of like, you know, like pits in their stomach. And I think when my show got canceled last year, I just sort of was like, okay, I could put all this love and energy into this thing that I think is wonderful and beautiful, and it could be taken away from me. So at the end of the day, all I can control is the process and the journey. And so I've been having such a fun time doing stand-up. And I think people can tell when they watch me that there's a sense of joy and ease and confidence because I'm really enjoying the experience. And no bad set defines me. No great set defines me. It all sort of evens out in the end. And so I think I'm at a place that feels, I think I've right-sized sort of the emotion and the mental anguish about stand-up. I think before it was too, oh my God. Now it's like, it's stand-up and I love this, but it does not define me.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting how what you're good at or what it could be that you at once loved or loved something about it is something that you dread. I'm not surprised to hear you say that. So were you, and when you say small theaters, what was that size? What is a small theater?
It's like, you know, like the Wilbur is like a little over 1,000. So it's like, and then there's places like Revolution Hall and like Portland, which I think is like 700. So it's anywhere from like 700 to like 1,100. I think it's great to sort of dip my toe in. And my opener is Khalees Hawkins, who's this brilliant, hilarious Black woman. Also, she's based in New Jersey. But I met her through stand up and we just always been friends. And she's really amazing. And I'm like, if I'm going to have someone open for me, I want it to be another Black woman.
Oh, I love that.
Always important.
Do you, with your work, and I did, like I said, you do speak to a lot of genres, but you speak as your perspective, your first person perspective as a Black woman. Is it ever uncomfortable to get political and speak your truth? Be your full self?
I don't know if it's like, I feel like I just don't even think about it. Like, I just am so like, I'm just going to write. I just
this is what I'm thinking. And you're about to hear it. Yeah, no filter. It's in my head, out of my mouth.
Yeah, it's a sort of Libra energy. It's like, this is what I have to say, so I'm just going to say it. And I think, you know, my brother is a politician in Ohio, and he works at a nonprofit, Reading Partners, which is about literacy. And so, like, he's just doing all these amazing things, and he's showing up every day, especially in Ohio, which, in my opinion, is a red state. It's not a purple state anymore. And he's very fearless. And so I'm just so like, if he could be fearless and I can say whatever I want to say. And luckily, like, I haven't been doxxed, like, no one stalked me. So I think I don't know if privilege is the right word, or maybe I'm just very lucky that, like, I've been outspoken and I haven't gotten, like, any blowback that made me feel uncomfortable.
I remember during the pandemic, your posts were powerful. They were fighting for, literally giving a voice to the voiceless. And I always thought amazing. And I didn't really, I do now, but I don't ever read comments really. I'm not a comment reader of other people's comments.
Yeah.
But I find out that's where the fun is. But I don't remember too much pushback. I know people who have a platform that is of note that can be considered mainstream in a lot of ways. Do you ever worry that you lose work when you speak from honest and true experiences, like what happened during the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have had a couple of people write comments of like, I talk too much about race, or, you know, whatever gripe they have, or like, oh, I'm disappointed. And I'm always just like, you don't actually know me. Like, like, you know what I mean? Like, you like my comedy or my podcast or a movie that I was in, but like, your disappointment honestly literally means nothing to me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm very much a believer in consider the source whenever you get feedback. And so it's just like, who is it coming from? Is it coming from someone who's like, if it's my parents, okay, I'm going to investigate that. If it's a close friend, sure, I'm going to investigate that. But I think a lot of people love to live online and spew hatred and feel like they're a victim if people from marginalized communities are saying, hey, things should be more equal. So I have just always come from a place of, if you're not a true factor in my life, I'm not going to give your words power, because that's only going to harm me. You know what I mean? And, you know, I think just... as someone who's like on the cusp of 40, I turn 39 next month.
The cusp.
I
On the cusp.
Yeah, I just think I'm less. I think what people say true is it's true. It's just like I kind of care less what people think. I'm just like, if I lose you as a fan, you weren't meant for me. And that's okay.
Yeah, and that's okay. And if I lose the job, that was the job I didn't want.
Yeah.
Or the opportunity. I may have thought I wanted it, but it would have made my life much more miserable. I'm a believer in rejection is always protection. All right, we have to pay some bills. And I do that with a lot of commercials. You all know what to do, okay? You can fast forward or you can listen to them. You might find something interesting. We'll be right back in just a few moments.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion, and girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion.
Greatest in sports and entertainment, get naked with.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Naked. Phoebe Robinson is still here, and we get into what the tour looks like, what the future looks like, and why she's so vulnerable and honest. Hope you enjoy Phoebe Robinson. I think it's interesting that you say you're doing these small, the first thing you just said when you said you're doing small theaters, and she was like, just 1,000. I was like, I would throw up if I had to entertain 1,000 people. She's like, even though I'm in front of the television, there's no one there. There's no one behind me. It's me just talking to a camera. There's a totally different point of view. What do you think this set that you have been working on, what you're going to take on tour, what does it encapsulate in terms of what are we talking about?
Yeah. Well, there's, I say, small theaters is just like in comparison, like a Radio City Music Hall.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? So it's like I'm working my way to that one day, hopefully, knock on wood.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Around the corner. Around the corner, superstar. I believe it. I claim it.
Yeah. It's really interesting about this hour because when I started working on it in January, it was sort of just, you know, just writing jokes and sort of figuring out like what's funny. And so I have a workout show that I do in Brooklyn, at Union Hall with Khalees. That's the second Monday of every month. And I was just sort of like writing jokes that weren't necessarily like related to a theme or anything. And then I remember in March, it was just such a chaotic month where I was just traveling nonstop. My brother was coming to town. I bought this apartment, was moving into it, and then was going to immediately leave for 3 weeks. So like everything was happening at once. And I was just going from here. I'm in one city for 24 hours, another place. And I remember being on a flight and I was just like, I want a sugar daddy. Like this is,
yeah.
I was like, being a girl boss it's a lot here. So the basic crux of my hour is that the lie that we were fed of being a girl boss is sort of like, it's going to be different because the women are going to be in charge. And it's like, well, we're still doing more work at home. Like when I was with my ex-boyfriend, like he, and I was paying all the bills and I was like holding this down during COVID, and he would complain that I like wasn't cooking. And so it was like the expectation that I was supposed to like work all day, paying for everything. I'm supposed to be cooking and doing laundry. And I'm sort of like, being a girl boss is a trap, you know? And I'm joking, of course, in a lot of ways. But I do, you know, the underlying is that society has sort of told women, like, if you just hustle nonstop, all your dreams are going to come true. And it's like, okay, but we're tired. I'm still underpaid. I'm stressed out. This is not the promised land. And so I'm like, I jokingly, like, I want a sugar daddy because I want some time off. I need time off.
You are preaching to the choir. If you could, guys, if we can pass a collection plate for Phoebe, because I have the kind of money that folds, not that jingles for her. Because literally the other day I sent my hairstylist, and his name is Devante. He'll get a kick out of this. He listens to the podcast all the time. I sent him this meme, and it was and I'll send it to you. This is a cartoon character singing, I want a sugar daddy. You know why? Because I want someone to take care of me. I'm with you. And society has told us that. And there's this happy medium, because it also provides us with the freedom that a lot of women I know don't have. The freedom to say what you feel, to live your truth, to say, I know my worth and I will not settle. It provides us with the freedom to say, I can be bad by myself. You know what I mean? You're not enhancing my, so although there's this upside to it, but to your point, the day to day, and when you are overwhelmed, you're like, it would be nice if someone just gave me 7 figures inside of my checking account. Just here you go.
Yes. So I like not be stressed out. You know, you read these things where it's like
the more a woman like rises up within a company, like her title gets bigger, the more people dislike her. The more successful a woman is, the more likely she is to be cheated on, to be left. So it's all these things where it's like, I love that I'm independent, that I have this apartment, that, you know, it's my dream home. All these things are amazing. And I wouldn't get rid of them. But there is something to be said that, like, I don't know if being a girl boss is going to save us the way that people presented it, you know?
I full agreement, touch and agree. Amen. Yeah. So is this what the hour is about? Because no, I'm going to try to fly to every city to see it.
Okay, yes.
So is this what...
Yeah. So this is the umbrella of like which everything is under. And it's been so fun to perform and do sort of the workout shows that I was doing in the spring where it really sort of clicked into place for me. And a lot of women in the audience were like, I so feel this. I so understand this. Like, this is like what I'm going through. So I think there's a lot of women who we're really happy with like the empowerment and sort of being leaders, but we're still feeling the lack of support from society, I think, in a lot, even like with maternity leave, it's like you want us all to be bosses, but you don't want to take care of women when they become mothers. Yeah. Yep. Ridiculous. So I think it's for me, it really just was like, let's like have fun sort of deconstructing this a little bit and make people feel better about the stresses they're going through. So when they go home, they can be like, I laughed, I had fun. Maybe I peed a little bit because I was laughing so much.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. They should do that. But you are saying like, and I also think there is this innate, like, I think it's in our DNA. I think hunters and gatherers, I think God had it right. Hi, you know, there is this, we weren't built or initially set out for that. Nothing's wrong with it, but we'll always go back to our instinct, which is I need to be provided for and protected. At what level? Different for everybody. Somebody just wants to make sure they can get some extra guac on a burrito, right? You know, you might want something a little more than extra guac. You might want a drink. You know, I might want a whole meal, you know, a combo meal. But my point being, right, you get the point, right? Like, we all, no matter where we are in life, want something in terms of protection and provision. I think that is genius, as you always do. And I want to circle back to something you said, this about being successful and what happens when you do acquire success, especially as a marginalized woman. It feels as if we're targeted. Well, you most recently had an entire show on Freeform, and not only was the show canceled, they removed it off the platform. What did that tell you? That to me felt punitive and extreme. What did that tell you?
It was really sort of, it was obviously was so disappointing and it was so infuriating. And, you know, it just, as much as I love this industry, there is sort of the talent side we're treated as disposable. And that's really sort of frustrating because no one's watching a show because Tessa Randall's is in it. You know what I mean? Like, they don't give a fuck about him.
Correct. Because I thought it was a girl. Go ahead. To your point.
And it doesn't mean that he doesn't have value, but I think the thing that's frustrating is that the powers that be don't feel like the writers, the producers, the actors. It's a marriage. Like, we need each other. We need a platform. You need content on your platform so you can get paid. And so it just feels sometimes like they're swatting away at us like we're flies and we're bothering them. And I'm like, where are you without a Succession or, you know, a Martin or a Living Single or a Sex and the City? You're nowhere without the creative people as well. And so I think when my show got taken off, I knew it was a financial move. I thought it was just very, I just thought it was like in poor taste because it's one of the things that, you know, the writers are striking against and the actors who are striking against now, which is like the lack of residuals. And, you know, I know shows like later on after mine got canceled, like the day was announced, it was taken off the platform. So it's like they didn't even get it just feels very cruel. And it's hard to sort of wrap your head around because it's like when the strike is over, we all got to
work together. Like, this thing just happened. Yeah. You know, it feels very much like, what are we doing? So that was really heartbreaking. And, you know, it really has, like, had me down. And I think this is the lowest I felt just, like, emotionally since I, like, started doing comedy. Because it's just sort of, like, I just want to create and have fun. And it just feels like there's all this other BS that's in the way of it. And it's just so... That's just so infuriating. Yeah.
It just means that you're becoming more and more successful, I have to tell you. It just means that you're rising the ranks and you're understanding what this is.
Yeah.
And it just means that you have to stay committed to the essence of why you started. I think everyone gets to a point where you're like, I cannot believe y'all did that to me. Like, why that's cruel. And the business is exactly that. It is cruel. And that's so unfortunate because you show up and you stay kind and you say genuine and you don't even know how they think like that. You're like, how do you sit and say, I'm taking this, I'm just removing everything from the platform? Like, how do you even think like that? You wouldn't even think to do that. You know what I mean? So I get it. I understand your disappointment, but that means something more exciting is coming along. Have you felt like more opportunities will be coming your way after the strike?
I don't know. I mean,
are you feeling unsure of work?
Well, it's just like, we just don't know what the industry is going to be like. Mm-hmm. Because the longer that this goes on, I'm just like, okay, even if like the strike ended in like September or it's not, but it ended in like end of October, like, the quickest, like, for scripted, you're going to start shooting, like, sometime in January. And so it just feels like, I don't know what the landscape is going to be like, but I still have, like, my head full of ideas. And so I want to, like, create another TV show and, like, you know, act and produce, because that's, like, my happy place professionally. And so I still want to do that. And I hope that the industry will sort of come back together and sort of realize, yes, everybody like wants to make money, but like the joy is in doing the craft and the process and like being in writers' rooms and looking at producer cuts and like all those things and collaborating with artists and authors. And so I really just feel like the powers that be have, you know, totally lost track of that. And that's like, I want to try and recalibrate them back. But I'm going to hold hope. There's been moments during this strike where I'm like, I just want to quit and walk away. But I'm like, I want to hold out hope that I can like keep producing and be a platform for other people too. Because I think that that's like sort of the through line of my career, is that I always want to share my space with other creatives.
You know, we feel the same way. My world is a little different because we are not necessarily SAG-AFTRA, but the uncertainty of television right now, but it's not just our industry. It affects every industry. Like my girlfriend's a real estate agent. She's like, I ain't sold a house in I don't know how long because everyone's so uncertain with Hollywood and what's going on with the market. And the markets are uncertain. So there is definitely this feeling of, and fear is palpable. People catch it quicker than, you know, they do courage. But I do believe that everything will work itself out and it's cyclical. And I look at your business model, what I think is your business model, because that's the way I'm thinking now. Because I was like, I got to do other stuff besides this TV thing. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion, and girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion.
Greatest in sports and entertainment, get naked with me.
You have an imprint, Tiny Reparations, and then you have your production company. Obviously, we know we're going to put that on pause for a moment, but you still have ways of making income. And I want to know why. First of all, congratulations, because you had a New York Times bestseller, didn't you?
Yeah.
With your imprint, and you just did a poem, I guess a book of poems or just poetry came out today. I'm not quite for sure.
Yeah.
Congratulations. So I'm all like looking at you like, you got money over money over money. But tell me about Tiny Reparations.
We all know. We all know. Yeah. Roll taxes after paying everybody.
The coin is dropped. Yeah. It shrinks. Yes, I'm aware. But tell me about this business model, because you are hitting on all cylinders in terms of, I'm working in each aspect of this industry in terms of entertainment. So I'm curious how you came up with the imprint and partnered with Penguin and I believe and Plum.
Yeah, Plum. Yeah. So they published they published all my books. So I started working with them in 2015. In 2016, when You Can't Touch My Hair came out. And they've always just been really supportive, totally got what I wanted to do. And when I wanted to do an imprint, I just approached them. I was like, hey, I think I'm ready for this next step. Like, I think I've proven myself that
not only do I love writing, but I think I have like a good eye for talent. And yeah, so we launched in 2020, and my book was the first one to come out. And then the next, then we had a couple more that came out in 2021. And then the New York Times bestseller was Portrait of a Thief by Grace D.
Yes. Yes, that's what it was. Yeah.
She's fantastic. She's currently writing a second book with us, and author retention was always like a big deal for me. Because I think, you know, publishing is big. You have like all the big name authors. I think sometimes if you're a newer author, you might feel like a little lost in the shuffle. So I always wanted to make sure our imprint was like small and curated. I think the dream is for us to publish like 15, 20 books a year. And I think right now we're around like 7, 8. So we're getting there. And so I really just always wanted to be a place where authors could feel like they can write the books that they want to write. They will be supported, not only by me, but by people at Plume. And it's really been a dream come true. And I think business-wise, it just was sort of like, I love books, I love movies, I love TV, I love stand-up. And so those are the things that I've done, which has been really exciting and great. And I don't know, I think the imprint is one of the things I'm the most proud of that I've done, because, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but like when you write a book, like the average person, they don't know, like, especially if it's fiction, you have to write the entire book. So people are spending years writing like their dream novels for free and then hoping they can sell it to someone. That is such a leap of faith of not only in your talent, but just like you have to love writing in order to want to do that. And to see like these authors who are like first timers who are just sort of like, okay, I want to try my hand at this. I believe I'm really talented and I have like a story to tell, and to be able to publish your books, I just feel like a proud mama. Like I'm never going to have kids because I don't want to be a mother, but I feel like I love book babies. So
yeah. And you are giving, and you're creating such a wonderful entry into this world for so many people who would otherwise be overlooked. And I think we all know what that feels like. But even, and at the same time, I think it's just really smart. I when I told you, I'm like, God, I love this business plan. I see this corporation we're building, if you will, right? I see the mogul becoming, if you will. But it's all inspiring. And that's why I am a huge fan of yours. I want to know where people can go to find out how to, check you out on tour. And is it called I Need a Sugar Daddy Tour?
No.
Because if not, you're missing out right now. You can give it away. You can have my ID. Go ahead.
It's called the Messy AF Tour. And you can go to phoeberobison.com. You know, it's on the landing page. So I don't even make you click to the tour. No. Because people ain't got time for that. They're on their phones while they're kicking shit, and they do not want to have to go to another page.
We don't, because we watch TV with our phones, so we can fact check, and we are busy. We are busy people doing nothing. Ain't nobody got no job. We are busy people doing nothing. According to the economy, we trash. Okay. So I really, truly want to support. I saw that you were in Seattle. When do you come to L.A.?
September 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I can always see you in our soon to be hometown, our mutual home area in Brooklyn.
Yeah. I'm excited for you to be in Brooklyn. I mean, obviously as someone who's been here for 20 years, I'm clearly biased, but you'll love it. I love it.
I stayed for 3 months in Williamsburg, and I was like, oh, I have to move here, because I kept going to Brooklyn, different parts of Brooklyn. I was like, I have to move here. Not Williamsburg per se, but I was like, I must move here. And so it's just a wonderful experience. So I can't wait to really take this off of social media, the podcast and the TV, and hang out with you. We can have a lot of fun, girl, because I'm fun. I don't know if you know that. I'm fun.
Judging by your Instagram, you seem very fun. You always turn a look.
Good time. Phoebe Robinson, brilliant, Black, brilliant, and successful, also beautiful. Thank you for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So don't forget, you all, head to her website, even her Instagram, phoeberobinson.com, and support. She is on tour, and I think it's great. She said for some time, as you heard her say, it was difficult for her to get up in front of an audience and just bring her full self, and now she loves it. It was a tough ask, but now she's giving you all that she has, and I really want us to support her. It's rare that we find people who are truly humble and kind and then have this great mind, and when they get this success, they still remain the same. Hollywood changes people, and I'm proud to say she's one of a few that I know intimately that I can say has not changed. Again, she deserves all of our support. Check her out, phoeberobinson.com. Go see her on tour. If not, watch some of her television shows. Follow her on Instagram. There's a lot to learn. Talk to you all next week.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.